Why is it that sometimes I can't see what's the problem in my life? I can't figure out what's the problem in my marriage. I can't figure out what's the problem at work. Why is it that sometimes I'm headed down the road and I have no idea where I'm going? I just can't see what God is doing in my life. Well, in this passage, Jesus points out three barriers that cause us to not be able to see clearly. You might write them down. Number one is pride. When I am prideful, I can't see what God is doing in my life, what God wants to do in my life, and what God wants to do in your life.
Hello, and thanks for joining us here on Pastor Rick's Daily Hope. Today we continue in our series called When You're Hoping for a Miracle. In it, Rick shows us from God's Word that when it comes to living with more love, peace, patience, and self-control, we should never lose hope. That's because God loves us and has great things planned for our lives. Stay with us. Now, in just a few minutes, we're going to tell you about a book called God's Power to Change Your Life. This book by Pastor Rick Warren is perfect for anyone who feels stuck and unable to make real and lasting change. You can text the word DAILY to 99000 while you listen to find out more. That's PastorRick.com or just text the word DAILY to 99000. Right now, here's Pastor Rick with part one of a message called When You Can't See Your Way Clearly.
Now, how you see life determines your stress, determines your success, determines your stability, determines your strength. It determines everything in your life. How you see your life, how you see God, how you see your past, how you see present, how you see the future, how you see money, how you see sex, how you see time, how you see your strength and weaknesses. Everything in your life is affected by your perspective. In Matthew, the book of Matthew, Jesus said it like this, Matthew 6. The eye is the lamp of the body. If your eyes are good, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eyes are bad, then your whole body will be full of darkness. Now, obviously, he's talking about more than physical sight here. He's talking about vision. He's talking about perspective. He's talking about seeing with spiritual eyes. And what he's saying here is that perspective is everything. That it's so important that you see life clearly, that you see life correctly, that you see life comprehensively and completely, that you learn to see life from God's viewpoint. Now, learning to see life from God's viewpoint in the Bible is called wisdom. What is wisdom? Wisdom is learning to see life from God's point of view. And one of my whole goals as your pastor who loves you is to help you become a wiser person. Everything we do at Saddleback is designed to help you learn to see everything in your life from God's point of view. Why? Because he always sees it correctly, and I typically, and you typically, don't see it correctly. We see it with limited perspective. We see it with a cloudy vision. And so much of the time, we're just kind of headed through life going, I have no idea where I'm headed. I have no idea what's next. I have no idea what I should be doing with my life. And we lack focus, and we lack direction, and we lack clarity. And so this weekend, I want us to look at this issue of when you can't see your way clearly. And there's a story in the book of Mark, Mark chapter 8, if you have a Bible, you might want to turn there, that Jesus does a miracle and has a conversation with his disciples that explains to us. He actually uses three things. He uses a misunderstanding with his disciples, he uses a miracle, and he uses a critical question to clarify, help people get a better vision, a better handle on what am I supposed to be doing with my life, how do I handle this situation, and when you can't see your way through something, this is what you need to do.
The rest of today's message is coming your way in just a few moments. But first, if you'd like to connect with Rick on Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn, or Instagram, go to PastorRick.com. That's PastorRick.com. And click on his social media links. And while you're there, be sure to sign up for his free Daily Hope email devotional and take a look at all the other helpful resources. Again, that's PastorRick.com.
What does it take to become more loving, live more peacefully, develop patience, have self-control, In the years I've been a pastor, writes Rick Warren, the number one question I'm asked is, Rick, why can't I change? People want to change, but they're stuck. Do you want to break free? Here's how. In the book, God's Power to Change Your Life by Rick Warren, you'll find practical guidance for specific types of change and a way to connect with the power to actually make the changes you long to make. As you apply the truth of God's Word by the power of His Spirit, your life will change. You'll move out of your rut and get on track with God's wonderful purposes for your life. We would love to send you a copy of God's Power to Change Your Life as our way of saying thanks for your financial support of this ministry. Call 800-600-5004 or go to PastorRick.com right now to request the book God's Power to Change Your Life by Rick Warren. Again, that's 800-600-5004 or PastorRick.com. Thanks.
Once again, here's Rick.
In the book of Mark, Mark chapter 8, if you have a Bible, you might want to turn there, that Jesus does a miracle and has a conversation with his disciples that explains to us. He actually uses three things. He uses a misunderstanding with his disciples, he uses a miracle, and he uses a critical question to clarify, help people get a better vision, a better handle on what am I supposed to be doing with my life? How do I handle this situation? And when you can't see your way through something, this is what you need to do. Now, we'll start first with what I would call an embarrassing misunderstanding between Jesus and the disciples. Let me give you a little background before we look at the text. Jesus was in the third year of his ministry. By now, everybody knows who Jesus is. He's extremely popular. Crowds are following him everywhere. He's done all kinds of miracles, all kinds of healings. Two of the real big miracles are once he fed 5,000 people, breaking a few loaves of bread and multiplying them. And another time he actually fed 4,000, two different miracles. And he's just done this 4,000 feeding miracle. And after that happens, the Pharisees come to see him. Now, the Pharisees, you remember these guys, they were the religious leaders who hated Jesus. They hated his guts. They were jealous of him. They were envious of him. They couldn't stand him. Jesus was loving and gracious to everybody, and they were all legalistic with their rules and regulations. They hated Jesus. So they're always having confrontations with Jesus, trying to trap him by asking doctrinal questions, which, by the way, is what Pharisees still do today. You can hear it a lot of times on the radio. People are always trying, well, what do you believe about? And what do you, and they're trying, whenever you hear that kind of person, they're usually trying to trap somebody. That's a mark of a Pharisee. But Jesus never wastes any time with those kind of people, the legalists of life. And so he splits, he leaves. And we pick up the story where he gets in a boat with his disciples to go to the other side of the lake. And in Mark chapter 8, verse 13, it says this. Then Jesus got into the boat, and he crossed to the other side. Now the disciples had forgotten to bring bread, except for one loaf that they had in the boat. No telling how long it had been there. Be careful, Jesus warned. Watch out for the yeast of the Pharisees and that of Herod. Now the disciples discussed why Jesus had said this, you know, watch out for the yeast of the Pharisees. And they decided that it was because they hadn't brought bread with them. Now, obviously, they've totally missed the point here. The disciples are going, why should we worry about yeast, Lord, when we don't even have any bread? This is typical of the disciples. They were often a little dull. They were often a little clueless. They were often kind of behind the scene. They never kind of caught up, and they're slow to understand what Jesus means. Here they totally miss the point. Jesus is using a metaphor for life, and they think he's talking about it literally. So Jesus says this in verse 17. Now, aware of their discussion, Jesus asked, guys, why are you talking about having no bread? Do you still not see? See, they can't see their way clearly. Do you still not see or understand? Are your minds closed? So, you know, you guys, you have eyes, but you don't really see. And you have ears, but you don't really listen. And then he gives them a little quiz, and he says, now remember when I divided those five loaves of bread to feed 5,000 people? How many baskets did you fill with leftover pieces of food? They said, 12. And he said, what about when I divided 7 loaves of bread for the 4,000 people we fed? How many baskets of did you fill with leftover pieces of food? They said 7. And Jesus says, and you still don't understand? You still don't get it? Now, the disciples, here's an important thing. They got the answers right to the question. How many loaves were left over after feeding 5,000? 12. How many loaves did you pick up after feeding 4,000? 7. But they still didn't get it. Now here's the point. You can know all the facts of the Bible and still not get it. I know some people who take pride in how much Bible knowledge they've got. They can quote scriptures back and forth. They can argue theology. They can talk about this doctrine. They got a question for everything and an answer for everything, but they don't get it. You can have the Bible memorized and still not get it. Jesus said to the Pharisees, you know your problem, you guys? You don't know the scriptures nor the power of God. Now, that was an insult to a Pharisee, because to be a Pharisee, you had to memorize Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy completely. And Jesus says to him, you know what? You don't know the scriptures. In other words, you can have all this Bible content and still be out of the loop. Does that make sense? Now, I want you to write something down. Every miracle has a message in it. Every miracle has a message in it. And in both of those miracles where Jesus multiplied the bread, he was trying to teach something as well as meet people's needs. And obviously, the disciples didn't get it. They were clueless. They were spiritually blind. They couldn't see their way clearly. Now, you need to also write this down. Blindness is a metaphor for a closed mind. In the Bible, whenever you see blindness, it is also a metaphor for a spiritually closed mind. And this is really important that you understand this, because when we look at the miracle in just a minute, when Jesus heals a blind man, he's not just healing a blind man, he's teaching us truth about when we have our minds closed. The Bible teaches that physical sight is often a metaphor for spiritual insight. And often Jesus will say, you blind guides and you blind leaders, you don't know what you're talking about. Well, they weren't blind, but they were spiritually blind. They had all the facts and doctrines of the Bible, but they didn't get it. And this is the problem with the disciples. They're dense, they're dull, and they're confused. Now, what is it that keeps me from seeing clearly? Why is it that sometimes I can't see what's the problem in my life? I can't figure out what's the problem in my marriage. I can't figure out what's the problem at work. Why is it that sometimes I'm headed down the road and I have no idea where I'm going? I just can't see what God is doing in my life. Well, in this passage, Jesus points out 3 barriers that cause us to not be able to see clearly. You might write them down. Number 1 is pride. Pride. When I am prideful, I can't see what God is doing in my life, what God wants to do in my life, and what God wants to do in your life. Now, Jesus says, watch out for the yeast of the Pharisees. In the Bible, yeast is often a metaphor for pride and arrogance. That makes sense. Why? Because what does yeast do? When you put yeast in dough, what does it do? It puffs it up, and if you put in too much, it blows it up. Okay? It expands stuff. It's like pride. It gets bigger and bigger. It puffs up and it blows up. Now, when you're cooking, you don't need a lot of yeast. You just need a little. I mean, like if you're making brownies, you don't pour a cup of yeast in. No, you just need a little pinch of yeast. That's what pride is in your life. You don't have to have a lot of pride. Just a little pride will get you in all kinds of problems. Just a little pride will take over quickly. This last week, Kay and I had what you might call an argument. We call it a love match. And after that argument, you know, we've 35 years of marriage, I wrote down in my journal, when I'm filled with pride, I blow things out of proportion. You do too. You do too. When you're filled with pride, you blow things out of proportion. All of a sudden, little teeny tiny things get you really upset. And whenever that happens, you know it's pride. The very first verse in the Bible that Kay and I memorized, we memorized it on our honeymoon, Proverbs 13:10. Only by pride comes conflict. Because we needed it on our honeymoon. And you need this verse too, because whenever you find conflict anywhere in the world, pride's always involved. It's always involved. And so when I am filled with pride, when I have the yeast of the Pharisees, guess what? I can't see life clearly. Second thing that keeps me from seeing life clearly, short-term thinking. Short-term thinking. When I'm only focusing on the here and now and not what God wants to do in my life long-term, when I'm thinking about current comfort rather than long-term character, when I'm thinking about my happiness now, not my holiness, when I'm thinking about my success, not my surrendering to God, when I'm thinking about enjoying now instead of preparing for eternity, I'm going to miss what God wants to do in my life. Short-term thing. This is what happened with the disciples. Jesus is trying to teach them a lesson. And when he talks about this, he's talking about life. They think he's talking about lunch. That's short-term thinking. He's talking about behavior. They think he's talking about bread. You know, he's talking about the need for maturity, and they're talking about the next meal. That's short-term thinking. My stomach's growling. All I'm thinking about is how bad I feel right now. Man, I wish I could get some sleep. I wish I could get some food or whatever. Anything, you know, it's short-term pleasure. Short-term thinking causes us to not see how God's working in our life. Now, friends, this is so important because it is the great weakness of American culture. It's hard to think long-term today because everything in our society teaches you to do the opposite. Right now, we are robbing the future to enjoy today. And we're setting up years and years of unpayable debt to future generations so we can do what we want now. What is that? That's called short-term thinking. It means we're not thinking long-term. What's best long-term? We're thinking about, I want it and I want it now, even if I can't afford it, and so I will charge it. And we are mortgaging the future. And that's not just in economics. It's in every area of our society that says, do it now, live for today. If it feels good, do it. Have it your way. You deserve it, and on and on. It's all about short-term thinking. Whenever you're thinking short-term, you can't see what God's doing in your life. You can't see his long-range plans for your character because you're just thinking about your comfort. Third thing that keeps me from seeing life clearly is short-term memory. Short-term memory. Pride, short-term thinking, and short-term memory. And here's an example where Jesus has to remind the disciples of a couple things that's just happened. He reminds them of two miracles. Now, remember, they're all worried about bread. And Jesus said, guys, who's in the boat with you? I'm the guy who just took a few loaves and fed 5,000 people. And I'm the guy who just took a few other loaves and fed 4,000 people. And you're worried about lunch? Hello? What are you thinking? I'm with you. I'm with you. You're not going to get hungry if you hang around me. Now, what had happened here? The disciples, how quickly we forget. Isn't that true? How quickly we forget. God does something good in our lives. He answers a prayer. He bails us out. He helps us with a miracle. We see something. And then the next time a problem comes along, we act as if it never happened. We have short-term memory. And we forget. And when I can't remember past blessings, I start fearing the future. And I stop thinking, oh, God will do it again, because I'm not even thinking about it. He did it the first time. When I have short-term memory, I start worrying unnecessarily about tomorrow. Now, what we're talking about, learning to see from God's viewpoint, having spiritual vision, is absolutely essential. As I said, to your success, to your stress level, to your stability, you know, to your strength, to all of these different things. The Bible says in Proverbs, without a vision, the people what? Perish. Perish. Without clear vision, you lose hope. When you don't have a vision for your family, you lose hope. When you don't have a vision for your career, you lose hope. When you don't have a vision for your health, you lose hope. When you don't have a vision for your children, you lose hope. Without a vision, the people perish. That's why what I'm talking to you about today is extremely important. When you can't see your way clearly, it means you've lost your vision, which means you're going to lose your hope. Now, nobody knows how long this recession is going to last. We don't know if it's going to last a year. We don't know if it's going to last 2 years, 3 years. Really, nobody knows how long this recession is going to last. But the key to you lasting, no matter how long it lasts, is hope. You got to have hope. And where do you get hope? You don't just pull it out of the sky. You get it from vision. Look at this next verse, Ephesians 1:18. The Bible says, I pray that the eyes of your heart will be enlightened. Now, what's he talking about there? Obviously, we don't have eyes in our heart. You got eyes in your head, not in your heart. He's talking about seeing with spiritual eyes. He's talking about spiritual vision. You have physical vision and you have spiritual vision.
This is Pastor Rick's Daily Hope. Now, if you'd like a copy of today's message, including portions we didn't have time for, or you'd like to sign up for Rick's free Daily Hope email devotional, just go to PastorRick.com. That's Pastor Rick with two R's in the middle. You'll find this message and others along with more helpful resources. What does it take to become more loving, live more peacefully, develop patience, have self-control? People want to change, but they're stuck. Do you want to break free? Here's how. In the book God's Power to Change Your Life by Rick Warren, you'll find practical guidance for specific types of change and a way to connect with the power to actually make the changes you long to make. Here's Pastor Rick to tell us more.
You know, I've been a pastor for over 3 decades, and I've been teaching the Word of God for over 4 decades. And in all of that time, the number one question I've been asked by people is this: how can I change? Or why can't I change? I've talked to literally thousands and thousands of people who want to change but are just stuck, and they can't figure out how to get unstuck. You know, the truth is, you can't change on your own, because willpower alone isn't enough to make permanent changes. Sure, you can force yourself to change for a month or 2 months, but pretty soon you're going to go back to your old ways. Pulling yourself up by your own bootstraps is not enough. Talking yourself into a change by positive thinking is not enough. The Bible says true transformational change only comes through the power of God inside you. That's why I've written a little book called God's Power to Change Your Life. It's a really practical guide for making positive, practical, and lasting changes in your life. And how do you do it? By letting God work through you. Now, you and I both know there are a lot of good self-help books out there that they'll tell you the right thing to do, how to, you know, break bad habits and how to set good habits and all these great things. But they are missing the most important part. They don't give you the power to change your life. That power only comes from God. You can't get it out of a book. So let me ask you a personal question. How do you want to be different at the end of this year? What changes would you like to make in your life? What goals would you like to see accomplished in your life? Well, it isn't going to happen on your own. You're going to need God's power. And I want you to understand how to plug in to God's power. That's why this month I'm sending out God's Power to Change Your Life, a book that I've written. When you give a financial gift to support Daily Hope Broadcast and Ministries. You know, Daily Hope is 100% supported by listeners. We have no other outside source of income. It's supported by your gifts. And when you give to support this ministry this month, I want to give back to you this book, God's Power to Change Your Life. Thanks a lot for listening today, and thanks for helping support Daily Hope. We love you, we thank God for you, and we hope you'll continue to listen to this broadcast as we look into God's Word for our daily hope.
Now, we'd love to send you a copy of God's Power to Change Your Life as our way of saying thanks for your financial support of this ministry. Just call 800-600-5004 or go to PastorRick.com right now to request the book, God's Power to Change Your Life by Rick Warren. Again, that's 800-600-5004 or PastorRick.com. Thanks so much. This program is sponsored by Pastor Rick's Daily Hope and your generous financial support.